Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Interjections Podcast, subtitled The Undiscovered Decade. We're here covering movies that we think are a little bit underrated. It's their 30th anniversary, and we're about to cover a film from March 1994. I have a wheel that we've been spinning to decide who actually goes. There's our guide.
Can I get an exemption? Because I've gone twice in a row. Or did I
Hey,
go three times already?
you have one more
Got one
chance.
more, buddy.
One more
Oh
chance.
man, I don't know about this.
All right,
I swear, if it
so
lands on me
you're see
again,
that little purple wedge? The other
Jimmy
three,
gets.
you have what? It's month three, so you have like a 1 in 10 chance or something.
Yeah.
And we have a
Yeah.
3 in 10 chance each.
So for those listening at home, this was put in as a safety measure to make sure we all actually watch the movie.
Sure, yeah. It's also to put us on the spot so that we
Make sure
spice it
we all
up.
get a fair
Because
bit of
none of us are awake. Ah,
Hey,
sorry.
there
Yeah,
you go.
plus
Take
it's
it,
Jimmy.
Jeff. I spoke too
Yeah,
soon.
just barely too.
So, okay. Guarding Tess is this month's film, which stars Shirley MacLaine and Nicolas Cage. Shirley MacLaine is a former First Lady of the United States, whose head of her security detail is Nicolas Cage. And he, he's trying to be the big guns, the hotshot Secret Service fellow, but feels that he's been put on a babysitting job because it's kind of a Driving Miss Daisy situation where he's just
Yeah.
there to take care of her and serve her every whim, and he's just not having any of it. And then, chaos ensues, and it's a bond much deeper than friendship or something. I don't know. One good guy in a pretty okay situation.
He
Yeah.
doesn't have much to complain about. It's like a
No.
coasting job, but he wants
Well, that
gets to be a worse
yeah.
situation later on for her.
Well, then
Yeah,
actually,
right.
one of his fellow agents actually sits him down at a bar later on because he's just been bitching the whole time, and he's just like, "Dude, this is like a cakewalk. This is the best job you'll ever get. It's boring, but like, come on."
He's got ambition, man. Yeah, he saw In the Line of Fire and wants to be that guy.
Yeah.
Wants to be Dermot Mulroney.
He
Uh-oh.
saw
Yeah.
an assassination attempt on
Film
the
again.
president on
Yeah.
the news. He was like, "I should fucking be there."
He's the opposite of Clint Eastwood's character at that point. He's like, yeah, I'm like,
You
you
definitely see
got it.
Nick Cage's range a lot in this because he's
Oh,
just,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, see? This is the
He look
face he's making That's
during
him
most
being
of the scenes
sassy.
with
Shirley MacLaine. You know
What
what
is
I've
this?
noticed about Nicolas Cage throughout most of the 90s, and we'll see it throughout this year actually. He's always on the verge of a coronary because he has to deal with cretins or babies. Like he's always about to have a heart attack. Yeah.
He's very, very angry.
And he does
Normally
a
he's
lot.
stealing national treasures, and now he's
Protecting it.
protecting one.
Yeah. So I was never a
Anyway.
huge fan of this growing up, but Tristan has a special place in his heart for this movie. Probably just because I saw it as a kid with my parents, so it's just nostalgic for me. It's not like
Yeah.
it means a lot to me other than that. So I've seen it
No,
like a dozen
does it
times.
have like more like deeper meaning to you for some?
No.
Like, is this movie why you're into politics so much? Why you love like history?
No, that's Dave.
Tristan wanted to be a Secret Service agent, but
Yeah. No.
life had other plans.
This is probably why I like Shirley MacLaine in the first place, because this would have been the first thing I saw her in. And then Mrs. Winterbourne. Then I saw some of the classics like Gambit and what was the big one? Oh, The Apartment. You know.
Does everybody else know that she's the sister of Warren Beatty?
I didn't know that as a kid, obviously. I didn't know Warren Beatty until I was a teenager.
Sister,
I like
okay.
missed him. Yeah.
I knew they had some sort of connection. I did not know it was siblings.
And it
So
isn't
thank you for
psychic.
clarifying. Right. They're not attached to the name.
Never
Her real
real
name
name
is
is Shirley
together
Beatty,
either.
right? Or at least
What's that?
her real surname is Beatty.
Yes.
So I'm not gonna put any theories out there, but she's the famous inspiration or like sighting of when an understudy becomes a big star because she was due to she had no chance necessarily, and then her lead actress got hurt and or sick and couldn't go on. one day, and she happened to go on, and there were agents there that saw her. And so she's famously that story about the understudy who makes it, you know?
She's literally all about Eve.
Right. And
Okay.
so it's just convenient that that person got sick. Now, of course, there has to be one person that that happens to. So maybe that's just Shirley MacLaine, but
She
I'm not
poisoned
saying anything
herself.
happened.
Okay.
So
She didn't
wouldn't
go
blame her.
Tonya Harding.
She, yeah, w wouldn't blame her, but
Yeah, it wasn't a Tonya Harding situation. But
we'll never know.
we'll never know.
I am glad for her career, though. I love a lot of movies that she's in. I do agree, watching this now, it's not like it didn't age well, but it is kind of campy. So I definitely have a nostalgic look at this movie, or a feeling for this movie. It's not perfect by any means, you know. It's just kind of middle of the road comedy. And I know Corey doesn't love it, but there's this pseudo twist that happens halfway through where she gets kidnapped and he has to rescue her and end up being like that Clint Eastwood character and In the Line of Fire. And I think as a kid, the music swelling, the big finale, they come together. She knows exactly what to do, even though she's been in a box underground for like a whole day. It
She's
got
trained.
to 7 or 8 year old me, so.
She's trained for this moment because she never left her bedroom
Right.
for like 5 years, and then she
On
suddenly
top of
wants
being
to go
a,
out and.
yeah.
On top of being First Lady, she was also a Navy SEAL.
Right. They didn't show those flashbacks. I also thought as a kid that it had a really cool supporting cast. Everyone's kind of the same, but they do a good enough job. This comedy is the kind of 90s comedy that you'd catch on TBS all the time, which is probably how I first saw it. You know, it's something that's easily digestible and you pop on a Saturday afternoon, you know. So I think that's why I like it, because that's what my parents would do. They'd flip around and leave something on.
Well, who's in the supporting cast?
Well, one of the bigger characters is Richard Griffiths. He plays the in-house chef for Shirley MacLaine.
You
So
hardly ever see
he's a
him
good friend.
cooking.
I know. I thought there
He's
was a
just
lot more
reading
of
the
him in
newspaper and
this.
eating.
Yeah. I thought there was a lot more with the house
Well,
staff,
he's
because I
taking care of the
remember
leftovers.
the other guy, and then he's like he has one line. But then there's Austin Pendleton playing the driver. I knew there was a lot with him because he ends up being the person that sort of leads to the kidnapping, and I guess he is the kidnapper. He's more of a kidnapper than his actual sister.
We've talked about him in the past. He's been in a lot of Jonathan Lynn movies.
Yeah, he was in My Cousin Vinny that we talked about for the best of the year. I just saw him on Broadway. He's still around as well. I think he's approaching 90, but he was in The Night of the Iguana on stage that starred Daphne Rubin Vega and Tim Daly. So I actually went because I love Tim Daly and I like this movie specifically for Austin Pendleton. So he's actually the one I like the most in this. But yeah, the thing that I liked the most of his character is when Nick Cage goes off the rails and shoots his foot and gets no repercussions for shooting a man's foot in interrogating. Like, what
Was he
is that about?
with in that scene? James Rebhorn.
That's true. Yeah, James Rebhorn comes in to try and clean up the mess that Nick Cage has caused. So there's a lot of cool that guy people in this. So yeah, I think I just liked all of the supporting cast though. So I think that's what I thought was charming about this movie, but rewatching it, all of them barely do anything. Austin Pendleton has enough still, so I think that is. I still liked his character, even though he's a little weird and a little uncharacteristically, I don't
He's
know.
very debbishy.
I like the
Sort of a, I don't know.
I don't know. I like the dynamic between because there it's four dudes taking care of one woman who doesn't do anything. So of course they're just gonna be sitting around the kitchen, hanging out, and the dynamic of Nicolas Cage, who's this hotshot Secret Service guy, also being one of the hanging out at the house staff is
Right.
just kind of like that's part of the comedy dynamic, I think.
Yeah,
Like,
I guess if they had more of them actually doing something that maybe they get in Nick Cage's way all the time, that could provide more comedy. I'm not talking like slapstick, but I'm
yeah,
trying to think of how to
like
improve this to make it more interesting.
yeah.
I think maybe
I don't know. I feel like for me, like the beginning set the tone where he put in his resignation, and then like all of a sudden he's back and he's like, okay, fine, I'm not resigning.
Right. Yeah, that was he's the got, other
yeah.
thing. Was he
so,
was
like
his...
I think that like the tone was set from the get go, but I guess there could have been maybe like a little like harder reminder of the situation, or even like he could have been a bit more fussy about it.
His time was up. His tour was done, and he was happy. He was looking off into the sunset. He was ready to go, and then he gets a call directly from the president to turn around and go right back to take care of the former first lady.
I don't necessarily have a problem with his character and motives or anything. I think it's just the Shirley MacLaine stuff actually sort of gets boring after a while. You know, she has her son visit and it's kind of on the nose that, oh, her kids don't really talk to her. And when her son comes, he just wants something from her because it's more her name that he desires. Cause he wants Shirley to sign off on some
real estate scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of squirrely of him, you know?
Yeah.
And so you get it. You get, she's lonely, but you could do different things. She only has one beat that way then. And she's lonely, even in a house full of people taking care of her. It's like, there could be a more about her trying to relate to each of them, and they all have different personalities rather than all bored.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, once I feel like the movie's starting to get its groove, then that kidnapping subplot comes in, and then it becomes a totally different movie.
Right.
Like it almost accelerates their relationship to finally come to that thawing point.
Right.
I wish it had gotten there without this.
Right. Maybe there could be a smaller version of that later on.
Just some crisis where they can't find her. I don't necessarily know that it needs to be a kidnapping. Like the one point where she goes off on her own with Austin Pendleton.
Right.
They can't find her.
Right.
It's.
But that's why you're supposed to think that it's just happened again. And then when it seems worse, you know, it's obviously different these days, but he gets stranded and obviously has like no cell phone. So that's a movie that couldn't exist today. So
it almost kind of feels like, you know, for a hot second, it was like, oh, did she just Gone Girl him? And like,
yeah.
Like just to make him feel important, she actually like got herself kidnapped, and you know,
that might be funny actually.
Yeah, like it was really all her plan. Again. Yeah, she just
to boost his self esteem.
Would that make you feel more swindled by the movie if she was just like in on it?
She just jumped out
really
of
pull on the strings,
and then
that's
it.
That's how she survived in the box for so long, because she's been practicing for this.
Yeah, she was training with Tom Cruise.
Well,
makes
Austin
you,
Pendleton
makes
has
you
nine
think.
Toes now.
Makes you think.
She didn't think that would happen.
Sacrifices must be made.
Jeez.
To keep Nicolas Cage entertained.
So I guess it goes without saying, I like the first half more than the second half, but the first half does start to get to a point where it becomes like starts to feel like a Chuck Lorre sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Series of incidents. Like her going to the opera and her wig falling off.
Right. That's a little.
It's like,
yeah.
It's a very minor episode.
I'm sure there could be better beats they came up with, but clearly wanted to model her after what Jackie O was going through after JFK dying, which Jackie O dies like in a month. Even by the time this movie is really being seen by people, this is sort of behind the times.
And they reference her too, because they're just like, oh, we thought you would have been guarding Jackie O by now.
Right. And I looked it up. I'm like, oh, he could not anymore. Yeah. So it's clearly like they want to have it be something that is not. And like I said, with this kind of 90s comedy, they want to have this like a bit of a saccharine feel. That's where the music swells. They all come together in the end with no issues whatsoever. So, you know, Dave does this better with some outlandish plots, with some heartfelt reconciliations. You know, it's the kind of movie this wanted to be.
I mean, Jeff alluded to it earlier, but I think that where the movie really hits its stride in terms of comedy is the phone calls from the president.
Mm. Okay.
Hugh Wilson is hilarious as the president, because he fluctuates between being very irritated and Southern cordiality. He goes back and forth. He has like almost like a He almost sounds like
a Clinton.
He, or Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's great. He's like, he's it. Whenever Douglas is getting a dressing down, is some of the highlights of the movie.
Actually, I turned to Jimmy and said, I often think of being on the toilet and being called by the president. How wild that would be. Whenever I'm on the toilet, it's just something that now pops in my head. This is
a goddamn national hero, Doug.
Yep. You thought he kind of sounded like a mix between W and Bill, right, Jimmy?
A little bit more on the W side.
Mm-hmm. He's clearly like supposed to be
W, which is weird.
He's clearly supposed to be like a Lyndon Johnson, since they're doing the Jackie O thing.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair.
Yeah, no, true.
Because he even says, sense, you know, her like, family endorsed me during my campaign.
Right.
And then the whole time you're kind of wondering why, like, what happened to her husband, because she's a former first lady, and they're talking about, like, the current president was her, you know, her husband's VP.
Right.
And so then she has the magic dream sequence tape.
Yeah.
That plays the magic flashback tape, yeah, where it's literally just a montage of all of the president's health problems leading up to his funeral. And then you're like, oh, okay, he had a stroke.
Did she cut that together? Did she have someone put that together for her?
It makes someone like, are you sure? Like, did she do this digital scrapbook?
I think it was like a recording of like a new news special, and she was just watching it. And of course, like the news special is going to cover like a president's death to its in every detail.
Yeah,
and then it also talks about like her kids, and they're, you know, zooming in on
it's just weird
characters in the church.
Voiceover for it was weird.
Yeah. The voiceover was weird, but I also like when they do that, because like that means that the like, yeah, it's a cheap gimmick to like get the audience up to speed, but it means that they took the time with the existing characters to film a fake funeral to play within the movie, which is clever.
Yeah, I can't tell if that
I like that.
Yeah, it's not a bad device necessarily.
No, it's like they're like, we got to get this into an hour and a half. What can we? How can we speed this up?
Yeah.
And then she's just sitting in bed sad one night and rewatching the highlight reel of her husband's funeral.
I don't really have a problem with a lot of things that happen in this. It's just kind of milquetoast.
The action gets about as spicy as an episode of Supermarket Sweep, you know?
Yeah. You could fall asleep to this and not really miss anything.
Yeah. But it goes to like how many toes was that guy willing to sacrifice before he gave up the goat?
I don't know.
It's like
he gave it up after one.
After one, but like that's the thing. Like he did it after one, and I'm like, okay, maybe this guy's like actually telling the truth. And then he goes for a second one, and he's like, no, I actually. So his limit was one. His limit was one toe. He's like, I'll lose one, and then I'll tell what's going
on. Well, I mean, you know. He thought he was calling a bluff.
Job security was kind of safe in the 90s. I'm surprised he was willing to do that. I think that's well done.
Yeah.
That curve. Corey doesn't love it.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of switch genres at a certain point. No.
Yeah. It feels a little contrived because there's so many people there. I think if it was a smaller stakes thing and she was sort of in on it, it might be better.
Yeah. That's going to be that's my headcanon now.
Yeah.
She was in on it. Well, the other thing is
she does wish she were on the ground.
She's got a tumor too. That's the other
thing. Oh, right. Yeah.
That's right. Why she's like living dangerously.
Yeah.
Because she's like,
that kind of sucks. I mean,
she's bored. Clearly, she's old. She's lonely, and she's dying. You know.
Clearly, the president probably had like a year or so left because he died in office. So would she have died like a year out from being the first lady? Like, it's probably not that long after. Because if his VP's in there, it's at most 8 years.
Yeah.
Since the president died. You know, maybe this guy got reelected, but it's probably his first term after being reelected. Maybe even the time within covering her husband, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's checking in on her.
Right.
All the time still. Also, why does she expect him to be there when he's the president? He's that busy. It can be rescheduled.
Because she's got, you know.
You're the taskmaster, though. That's why.
Yeah.
She's very much a
set in her ways.
No.
She knows that she's important.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's
so self-important.
That's what it is. Like she was the co-president, basically, in her mind. Right. So
yeah, I guess he's like a Reagan mix too.
I'll tell you, she's fiscally conservative because she didn't give her son that money.
That's true. Yeah.
That Hunter Biden looking son.
He's a little weasel though. So.
Actually, Nick Cage just kind of looks like a young Joe Biden in that shot behind you, Corey.
Oh, he does kind of have the forehead.
Yeah.
Hey, now listen.
The nose. Anyway.
No politics in this politics movie.
We got to get into that.
We got to talk about the fictional politics, not the real ones.
Yeah, let's pretend nothing else is happening in the world. So, how did you feel about this movie? Also.
Are we doing ratings?
Yeah, let's talk about grades.
Okay, I give it a C+.
Better than I thought you would.
I think it's genial, but it's also very biodegradable. Like you'll forget about it shortly after you watch it.
Yeah.
What a phrase.
I'm giving it a B+ myself.
Wow.
Yeah. It was all right, but like his charm to actual haha ratio is not quite up to my taste.
I got a B. It was enjoyable. And I unlike Corey, I'm a fan of when things switch genres halfway through. I'm like, oh, okay, it's to wake everybody up and to keep everybody, you know, or to reel in the you know, other people that have left the room, be like, wait, are they like, there's actually a shootout happening? What?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was good. I thought it was a nice twist, and I still think she was in on it. So,
this is a fan theory that.
Listen.
We're going to start posting on Reddit about garden tests. Everyone's going to be like, what? Yeah. Who cares?
Boy, this is a total. I knew Jeff was.
Someone will.
Yeah.
That's why
my nostalgia should bring it up, but I honestly I'm trying to look at this from the angle of, is this an underrated gem? You know? So I kind of want to just give it a B because that's the quality this movie has. My nostalgia would lift it into the A- range, but I don't need to sit with my nostalgia. Like, I can like Shirley MacLaine in better movies, you know? I can like Nick Cage in better movies. So this might not be as good as I remembered, which is fine. Still a B. I'm glad you guys watched this with me, because then you at least have the image of Austin Pendleton squealing after his toe is shot off. Because I think about that like weekly.
That okay?
Yeah.
In what context?
Because I never know. Like, what movie has that happen?
It's just weird that flashes. Upon you as you're driving in traffic, you just think about
I think about Austin Pendleton way more than I should probably.
Are you gonna want to take this exit? Don't shoot.
Yeah, it pops into my head. I watched this movie a lot as a kid.
Okay, fair.
That's
oh boy,
that actually that might explain a lot actually.
Is that right?
What the way I drive,
like just
like when he talks on cell phones, he goes a lot like this.
There are layers to this that I was previously unaware of.
Yeah.
How deep does the rabbit hole go, Tristan?
What anyway. Other movies came out this month, Corey?
Move,
I realized we didn't go it's over this, so I guess you just picked.
Moving on.
All right, so from 5 to 1. Actually, we just brought him up. Jonathan Lynn directed a movie this month with Michael J. Fox called Greedy, which was it's a comedy about, it's got a huge ensemble cast. Kirk Douglas plays a wheelchair-bound billionaire whose family is basically circling around him, waiting till he dies so they can get his inheritance. And they're all trying to curry favor with him. And they find Michael J. Fox's character, who's a professional bowler, to try to come back and try to kind of assuage the situation and maybe get him to put him back in their inheritance. So I rewatched it. It's not great. It's almost like this movie in a way. Also, it's also very protracted, and it starts to take the plot seriously, which kind of defangs it a bit. In terms of the Jonathan Lynn movies, I think it's one on the lower end. Number That's 4 fine. Is The Paper, which is a Ron Howard newspaper movie. Again, he's got Michael Keaton back in the bullpen before he's in Spotlight.
Mm.
It's a decent movie up until the end, and then it gets insanely implausible when
What does Michael Keaton end up in a box under the ground and they have to rescue Keaton him?
Goes to a printing press and gets into a fist fight with Glenn Close.
Okay.
What?
I almost like just watch that scene out of context.
Yeah.
Wait, why is he getting into a fist fight with Glenn Close?
Because he
you'll
wants
have to see.
Get printed. You just have to watch it.
Yeah.
Did he lose? He should. No one should pick a fight with Glenn Close. That's just inhumane.
Yeah, it makes me want to watch this now, actually.
He knows how to boil rabbits, so, you know, yeah. You better watch this stuff. Number three, though, is a nostalgic favorite, I think, of a lot of us who are hockey fans, which is D2, The Mighty Ducks. The greatly improved sequel to The Mighty Ducks. I think this was where the series hits its stride. I think it's got the best hockey footage. It's got a great Queen soundtrack, which is, I think this is where I got really obsessed with Queen as a kid. And then the third one's where it completely plummets. Because Coach Bombay's barely in it.
Yeah.
It's his chemistry with the kids that makes it so good.
I've only seen the first one.
Oh, really? Boy.
Yeah.
You're in for a treat, my friend.
Yeah.
Quack, quack, quack.
Duck's got to fly.
Number two is Four Weddings and a Funeral, a very breezy, whimsical romantic comedy with, I think it's like the first crossover hit for Hugh Grant.
For sure. This is really like where people started noticing like he had been pretty good in the smaller roles.
Yeah, like I think it's the first crossover hit for him and Richard Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
He became pretty prolific screenwriter and stuff like this afterwards. He did Love Actually and Notting Hill.
It's a really good movie. Have you...
Andy McDowell.
Yeah, Andy McDowell. Have you all seen this? You too? I think you'd both like this. Hugh Grant's very... it's the most foppish he's ever been. That's really why everyone fell in love with him. But it's whimsical. Like, the weddings, they're all different. And then the funeral, nice gut punch. It's great. So there's a moment my dad cites as one of his favorites in like all of cinema. It's the thing at the funeral, yeah.
Oh.
He loves this movie. Though he hates Andie McDowell. He doesn't understand why Hugh Grant would ever be interested in her.
Really?
I don't get that. I think he finds her kind of annoying. Like, he doesn't like Groundhog Day either.
Wow.
Oh, well. His loss.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm fine with her.
Yeah, it's Dad's loss.
Yeah.
My favorite movie of the month, number one movie, is actually a anti-Christmas classic called The Ref. This is Ted Demme directed. Dennis Leary plays this cat burglar who is on the lam and has to find a place to stay until his buddy can get a getaway plan. So he goes to abducts this squabbling married couple played by Judy Davis and Kevin Spacey. He's almost like their marriage therapist in a way.
I don't know if there's any curing Kevin Spacey, but
they say she cheated on him. I don't think they say anything about him doing anything on the side. But
we don't. So this was actually our alternative choice for this month. I somehow convinced Corey to go with Garden Chess over The Riff.
And you're all lesser for it.
Are you happy now?
But Richard LeGravenaise came up, wrote the script, and it sparkles with like really great sharp dialogue. And I think it's Judy Davis at her best, although debatably she's been better in like some Woody Allen movies, but she's really good in this.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yeah, despite his off-screen issues, she has the byplay between her and Kevin Spacey is hilarious.
Never said he was a bad actor.
No, I know.
I have a poster. Actually, we have two poster boards.
Oh, yeah. Boy. All right.
Oh,
I love the little indentation in the middle of the face.
So. Yeah, who made that? Oh, Jimmy helped this with this.
Yeah, like
he taught me a new trick.
With the woman on the side looks like
using this smudge tool the whole time, and I introduced him to the clone stamp.
Yeah, he knew I was using smudge the whole time. Yeah. I talked about it every episode.
I don't know why I just never thought
he was just
clone stamp.
He was just watching to laugh at you.
Mm-hmm.
I will say though, the way that you blurred out the woman's face, it looks like the Joker.
Yes, that's why I left it that way. I started to do the math, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to make a clown.
All right, so this is a wanted poster posted on some wood. Everybody's jumping out of the wanted poster.
Rip
Clearly a Western.
Mm-hmm.
You got some dude in fucking, I don't know, a leather vest and an undershirt and a scarf with a pistol that's smoking. That recently shot someone. behind him are a blonde, big-haired femme fatale, probably, and some other very confused lawman.
So what do you think the plot of this is? Because the next thing I have for you to guess is the slogan or like tagline.
This is clearly a Western, but with someone who's not necessarily supposed to be there. Because I've never seen any cowboy movie where dude dresses like that.
Yeah, see, like, Jamie, there's not just the hat that was going to give it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, well, I mean, you know, good thing I...
Why do you think he's dressed that way?
Mm.
What kind of person would do that?
A stranger in a strange land.
Oh, I like that reference.
Maybe one of those.
So where do you think he's from?
Judging by that hat, I'm going to say Australia.
See, even without the band, Jimmy clone stamped the black down onto a strap because he's like,
really?
That's the style of Australian hat.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
it's still the curve, does it?
Yeah. I mean, if you saw
the Stetson is straight.
The band out, like it would have been like way obviously, like definitely Australia.
Yeah. I'm proud of you, Jeff. That's good.
Oh, so,
because I didn't think about the vest. I didn't think about the shape of the hat.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's very.
Yeah, you're getting a bunch of bonus points for that. So. I don't know the plot of this necessarily, but do you want to come up with, based on the fact that he's Australian, is there something that you could come up with? Is that anything, Corey?
I mean,
my leading.
I don't know, man. It just feels like some sort of Crocodile Dundee sequel. Or he's in the fucking,
about that.
Like,
interesting.
It's just some guy, like, I don't know. It's just, it's a Western comedy where, you know, kind of like Million Ways to Die in the West. Guy keeps like, he doesn't fail necessarily, but he just magoos himself into success in the Wild West.
That's probably good enough, right, Corey?
He's not far off. In fact, it sounds like he wrote the movie.
Yeah.
Are you doing the byline?
Yeah, obviously, do you know who this is? Is that...
I mean, I figured it was the Crocodile Dundee guy.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
That'll be the thing after the tagline, but do you want to come up with a tagline for what you just described? You know enough about it, so...
Good day, partner.
That's probably
partner.
Better than whatever this is. I don't remember what the tagline is. This is actually going to be a surprise for me, too. It's a little too wordy, though. It's not too words.
Howdy from down under.
Yeah. Corey getting some points.
Right.
A comedy about two outlaws who just wanted to be wanted. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So the next thing is I reveal their faces, but you know it's Paul Hogan.
Yeah.
That's Crocodile Dundee's actor. Who do you think the two are on his left and right?
Travolta.
Can I give him a hint?
Which one is Travolta?
Travolta. The one with the wig. No.
Travolta from Hairspray.
The other confused lawman. And I want to say, oh my God.
Can I give him a hint?
No, I can give him a hint too if you want.
It's not a white person.
Yeah, for the Travolta one you're thinking.
Oh.
As for the woman, I mean, Paul Hogan's on a vacation. So what do you think?
Right.
Who do you think she is? Well, don't shake your head at that.
No, like, I don't know the actress's name, but now that you said that, you know, Clark Griswold's wife from.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Sorry, I guess
the other guy,
that gave it away.
Knock it off. It's the other guy, Jackie Chan.
No.
Oh my God.
You think it's Shanghai Noon?
I don't know. There were a lot of weird, you know, cinematic Western comedies in the 90s.
All right.
We
covered it.
Good old Cuba.
Yeah, I love when they switch the names unnecessarily. Like they had to have him ahead of Beverly, but then they didn't make the poster the right way.
Yeah, I was going to say, he looks pretty good in that blonde wig.
So what would he call this?
Wanted men, or
how many times can they have wanted on the poster?
Right, exactly.
Wanted,
hostage,
knights.
Mates.
Out west, down under.
There's a couple of mates.
Headshot.
Just a couple of mates.
Or just called dead or alive.
I feel like that just happened.
Wanted, dead or alive?
Yeah.
Talked about it, I think.
Yeah. All right. It's just his name.
Crooked Lawman. Lightning Jack.
Yeah, you never would have gotten it, but I wanted to see if he came up with a better title because it's just his name. But, you know, everyone's jacked in on this, so. Anyway, you did pretty well you could tell. I love the fact that you could tell he was Australian. So
this is the prequel to Kangaroo Jack.
Cuba might as well have been in that. He was doing boat trip at the time. So
nice.
All right. So that was one. We actually had two.
Okay.
Just because I want to see if you could get this as well. So Jimmy taught me clone stamp.
Oh.
That's horrifying. Okay, a comedy of invention. This feels like, is that Steve Martin's face on the? Okay, yeah. So it's a dude in suspenders holding what looks like a hula hoop. You know, he's in front of a giant gear with one person who looks like he's on a phone or screaming, and another woman who's just staring at him in awe. And it looks like a remake of Modern Times almost.
It's probably a little influenced by it.
I know.
It's probably just.
I want to say, is that guy Martin Short?
You don't know this movie, then, right off the top of your head, right?
I don't. Okay. I don't.
It's that's why we had Lightning Jack, because just in case you knew this one.
Yeah.
So I think the next thing I do is who they are. So can you tell at all who they might be? I like your guess, the middle guy, but
yeah, middle guy. The
tallest actors in Hollywood.
He's also about to become super famous.
Tallest and super famous.
Well, maybe not super, super famous, but he's in what should have won Best Picture this year.
Oh, I see.
The RDJ? No.
Not going to lie, Tristan, I regret teaching you.
When he says famous this year, he means like the year of the release.
Right, yeah, no, yeah. I got that.
Oh, my fault. Okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the woman, too. I want to say it's Christine Baranski, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's a good guess, though.
Actually, honestly, with the hair. The person on the right is one of America's most famous actors.
Pretty much known for having white hair too.
It's not Steve Martin.
No.
Alan Alda.
Mm-mm. Both good guesses.
Richard Gere.
He's not always in comedies, but he's very charming.
That's really, is it Richard Gere?
No.
No.
But yeah, he is famous for having whiter hair.
I forgot the thing.
Maybe not at this point. Maybe in a few years.
Yeah.
One half.
Did you already say Steve Martin?
He did. Yeah, we've said Steve Martin like four times.
For some reason, I didn't realize he already.
It's just comedian with white hair. Obviously, Steve Martin is the guy in the middle. It's not Robin Williams, right? No.
He's one half of
that would have been
very
fun.
Famous cinematic duo. He's one half.
Both of them are actually. Jim Robbins.
Wait, what?
Yeah, good job.
Tim Robbins.
The nose. The nose.
Hell yeah.
I think. Hell yeah.
And the hair is a little up, but.
He's got like that Steve Brule hair.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He does.
Hey,
do the whole movie.
You gotta check it out.
Yeah. I think you'll love this. Check it out. This was the last movie of the directors that I had to see of their filmography. I did not blur them out. That's not really a big guess. They're not famous yet. They're just known as good directors at this point. Even then, this is kind of like a swing for the fences that didn't really go well.
I think it's their biggest budgeted movie at the time.
Right. In 2 years, they'll succeed fully. So.
Is it called Work in Progress?
Nah. That's a good guess on the name, though.
Beta.
I forget what comes next. I think it is their faces, yeah. But you got one of them, so I'm
Paul
happy.
Newman and Jennifer Jason Leigh. Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She gives an all-time performance in this.
She's fantastic.
So there is another, within the hula hoop, there's another tagline. I think that's what comes next. And then the title. So based on this, can you guess what the plot is? And can you come up with a tagline?
Real quick, if I had not known that that was Paul Newman by the name, I would have guessed Victor Garber.
Oh, yeah, I can see
but,
that. The way his suit is,
yeah.
His jawline similar. Said.
So it's about the dude who invents the hula hoop, because the whole thing is, you know, the as the saying goes, bigger than hula hoops, you know.
Basically. So.
This is the guy. who creates something just dumb enough to be super popular and cheap enough to make them a shit ton of money.
Yep. That's so, basically it. Yeah, you got it.
But yes, with the cogs in the background. Was he like,
yes,
was a super industrialist just because he made hula hoops and he goes to do other things?
What's yeah, there is an aspect to this that's the journey, yeah.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
I'm very distracted by the cogs, and also the way that you clone stamp the faces. They look like their skulls are popping out of their face.
I know, it's great. So yeah. What would you come up with a tagline for that plot? Now, the other aspect of it is he starts in the mailroom and he works his way to the top because of this hula hoop business.
How to succeed in business without really trying.
That is essential to the plot.
That's literally...
you're going to love this tagline, by the way.
A rags to riches to rags story.
All right, I'll
put me out of my misery. They took him for a fall guy, but he threw them for a hoop.
So you'll never get this title, but what would you call this?
So this is like, so this is the idiot in the mailroom comes up with the most successful invention of the company.
And it's literally a circle.
Yes, the circle, yeah. The hoop.
Yeah,
it's called hoop dreams.
I liked that because that's this year.
Yeah,
this would be. So am I guessing a title, or am I guessing the?
You're never going to get the title unless you know what this is.
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
So if you can come up with a better title, I'll give you points.
Hoop de doo. There's no hoop puns. I know that because
that is something they would do.
What's all the hoopla?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
What's the hoopla about?
Yeah.
Question. All right.
I don't know,
man.
Hitting the hoops.
All right.
Hitting
the hoops. They're all good. So. Biscuit.
The Hudsucker Proxy.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a Coen Brothers movie.
What?
Yep. This really is like good. This is one of their lesser known ones. So technically, we could have done this for the.
Oh my god.
Underrated this... gems. No. You might have liked this a lot more.
I mean,
we probably should have done this.
I probably will actually watch this.
Like a movie.
Yeah, we probably should have done this. We could have done Paul Newman for a picture.
Buddy,
it's a throwback to Tim Robbins. Yeah, Jason Lee, one of the best performances. Instead, we watched Shirley MacLaine in a box.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. Shirley right
MacLaine in a box.
I'm so happy right now.
Well, this is what happens when we don't have consistent meetings. So
that's the point of this. To get you guys to watch Guarding Tess.
This was all a plot to see Nicolas Cage's lesser known works.
This is all a plot for you to be driving on the freeway thinking about Austin Pendleton screaming in agony.
I'll tell you.
Hmm.
I kind of want us to watch that Sucker Proxy now to make up for it.
Really good.
So I will totally.
When we do the best of, we could actually include it. Because it probably would be in your top five. I'll get it over to you. I don't think I own it, but I can see if it's not anything.
We'll find it.
So before we went into the episode, we all thought about who we'd want to do for Picks of the Month. Do we still want to do James Reborn? Or since we kind of forgot about Austin Pendleton, do we want to sneak that in? I'm throwing this in last minute, but I don't mind if we go with what we chose. I'm only bringing it up because we forgot him.
Fine with either one.
All right.
Y'all have your choices for James Rebhorn.
Yes, sir.
Yep. I think Jimmy is gonna.
Yeah, go ahead, Jimmy.
What? Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah,
like him in ID4.
Yeah, no surprise.
Yeah, I figured somebody was gonna pick
that's
that.
That's his prototypical role. He's the asshole that fucks up and doesn't want to admit it and he's trying to take control of the situation. He's like that government agent that should get things done. Either he's going to clean it up or mess it up.
Yeah. He's the guy that thinks he knows better. And then,
but he's not, he's not Will Smith. He's not Jeff Goldblum. He's not Nick Cage. Good choice, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Jeff?
Another movie of mine that I loved when I was a child. The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh my god.
Where he played the president.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
He did. But also Sleepwalk With Me.
Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't know you'd seen that. I forgot you liked Birbiglia.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while. I gotta watch it again, but
yeah. Do you want to go with Sleepwalk or Rocky?
I'm going to go with Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Fine by me. I sat in that film and watched Robert De Niro throw his career away for a second.
A classic of American cinema. Are you talking to and me? It was a time of innocence because that movie was made in 2000. Like, mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Before things just blew up.
It was one of the first, like, you know.
Yeah, you know who could have stopped 9/11?
Live action. Rocky and Bullwinkle.
No, they can only stop communists. They can't stop.
It's like one of my favorite fan
theories. Russians didn't do it.
Well, no, one of my favorite fan theories online was that like something Kermit did in his life. Like Kermit the Frog accidentally caused 9/11.
I think I know what you're talking about. I've seen something.
Yeah, because it was something where like it was a Muppet Christmas, like not Christmas Carol, but there was another movie, but like they had, you know, it was like It's a Wonderful Life situation where he was
he goes back, but they're still there. And
he goes back and whatever footage they shot in like the alternate timeline where Kermit didn't exist, the Twin Towers were still there and the editors didn't think about it.
Yeah, because the movie came out in like 02, 03.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Cool. Good choice. Corey, what are you thinking about?
Oh, I was thinking as he plays Dennis Quaid's boss in Far From Heaven.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a really good role. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. You sort of hinted at what I was going to choose because he's in another movie with Austin Pendleton, actually, called My Cousin Vinny. I actually think his evidence is the most important to the trial because he's the tire expert that Marissa Tomei completely dismantles after he takes the stand because he thinks he knows exactly what make and model the car is that was the getaway vehicle so they can pin it on Ralph Macchio and his friend or cousin or whatever. Then Marissa Tomei knows exactly what it is by the tire track. So
yeah,
the point of the movie.
It was, I did yeah. enjoy him in that.
Yeah, he's
but great. Also in Homeland.
Yes, Homeland was actually my backup. So yeah. He was filming that when he unfortunately passed away. He was battling cancer since about this movie. I don't know if you knew that. He had never revealed it until he passed away in 2014. It's actually coming up on the 10-year anniversary of his, I think, untimely passing. But he'd been battling since the early 90s. Wow. So he was in dozens of things. He's in Independence Day with cancer, probably. It's unfortunate, these cancer diagnoses. So
yeah.
I guess we could say donate to Stand Up to Cancer or something in honor of James Redborn's memory. Yeah. I'm all for charity these days, so that's why I've been doing the Edgars, the Golden Raptors with charity stuff. So I don't know. I'm feeling charitable with, you know, James Redborn's memory. Shame we didn't get him in more government dick roles in the 2020s. But
maybe AI will change that.
Oh God.
Don't put that.
I can feel the cringe.
Don't put that out in the universe.
Oh, too late. I already did.
Well, we can make a sequel to Guarding Test then.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, still Guarding Test.
Shirley MacLaine's. You know. She could reprise her role.
We keep killing people, so I don't want you to say that.
I said she could reprise her role. I didn't say anything.
Shit. Well, with AI, yeah. She turns 90 in April, so.
Oh wow!
Coming up on that.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Someone should guard her.
Uh huh.
Get Nicolas Cage on the case.
I forgot to look up what we have next month, but I can do that right now.
No Escape.
See, there's an
idea. Oh, it was like the Ray Liotta movie, right? Okay.
There's an idea for like a great like, you know, reality show pseudo sequel where it's just Nicolas Cage coming back to make sure that Shirley MacLaine is okay.
Yeah, right.
But it's like it's not. They're not Doug and Tess. It's just guarding Shirley.
Shirley. Yeah. Very meta. Yes. So yeah, No Escape is next month. I don't know anything about this, but I think it's a sci-fi film, just a crime thriller, sci-fi action.
So we have to watch this? There's no escaping it?
Yes. Yeah. Setting a penal colony.
Oh, yes. I did see about this. When Ray Liotta passed away last summer, right? Or 2 summers ago already? Time flies. This was one of the films that people were citing as an underrated gem. So it's pretty good choice on Corey's part, for sure. So I was actually looking forward to eventually catching this. So yeah, we'll see you next month. Martin Campbell pre Casino Royale and what was Goldeneye comes out a year after this. So yeah, so cool. I'm looking forward to this. Get a little return of Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
Hi everybody. Did we all have fun, or did we wish we watched the Hudsucker Proxy?